Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. If you've been a Christian for some time, maybe even just recently, but I know that as I grew up as a Christian, starting in 1973, my friends and I, our family, we would listen on the radio to Unshackled, the extraordinary stories of Christians who tell their testimony to encourage others, not only believers, but then unbelievers, to consider the claims of Jesus Christ and to give their lives to him. Well, two things real quick. Yesterday, we talked about Nickelodeon, a program they have on Blue's Clues, and how it undermines the morality of the children watching. It's geared to ages 2 to 5. Well, Nickelodeon, the news just came out yesterday as we were reporting that their ratings have plunged from 1.3 million viewers a day to where they have lost almost a million viewers a day. So we're so thankful for that. On the other hand, there are ministries like Unshackled that have been, wow, reaching people for going on a century, actually. So what I'd like to do is play a short clip from an Unshackled radio program, and then introduce you to a guest we have in studio.
How do you do? Care to come with us? We're planning a trip in almost any sense of that word with a young man who went from honor student to dropout, from clean living to drugs, achievement to rebellion, who went from one myth to another and then found reality, when at last his heart and mind and life were unshackled. From Chicago, crossroads of America, the Pacific Garden Mission presents Unshackled, the unique transcribed dramatic series that tells the true life stories of real people. For more than 93 years, the old lighthouse in Chicago has offered help to the men and women of the street, and the hope that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Now through Unshackled, it reaches out to you, right where you are, with that same assurance, and backs it with the dramatic evidence of transformed lives. Unshackled's now broadcast on every continent, is heard in almost every nation on earth, and is translated into other languages and re-dramatized by nationals. This global outreach has come to be as some of those who listen have made it their business to help as they are able, to make it possible for others to hear the program that makes you face yourself and think. We bring you the true story of Lon Gregg, right now on Unshackled.
And what an honor to have in studio, Lon. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
You and your wife, Janet, have been a wonderful addition to our church family at Denver Bible Church. And what a thrill to learn that Unshackled dramatized your life story and your testimony coming to Christ. Could you tell us a bit about Unshackled itself, for starters? Because you're not only someone that Pacific Garden Mission has shared the life story of, but you actually worked at the mission that, right? Not immediately, but eventually they hired you.
That's true. I came in as a homeless person in need of shelter. After I became a believer, I was eventually hired, and I met a nice lady there who also worked there.
Wow.
Unshackled is a radio program that began in the 1950s, as I recall. It was started by a famous Christian writer whose name is Eugenia Price. And by the time I went to Pacific Garden Mission as a client, It had been on the air for about 20 years. And I was thrilled to know the guy that wrote it, who wrote the weekly broadcast when I was there. His name was Jack O'Dell.
Wow.
And I enjoyed listening to the program being recorded at the Mission every Saturday afternoon with professional actors, and they had the acting. They had the radio studio right in the Mission.
Mm.
So in this particular case, I was one of the actors, got to play myself.
That is just great.
In the Lon Gregg story.
Well, let's hear a clip of that.
That was my first reaction to rock music. It didn't last. After I'd heard it for a while, it began to get through to me. And I started buying all the records by the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, especially.
So they couldn't have chosen anyone better to play Lon Gregg than Lon Gregg.
Hey.
I've just pulled up their website here on unshackled.org that their first program apparently aired in 1945.
Ah, that sounds right.
But Pacific Garden Mission going on, like we heard in the intro to your story there, for 93 years. That's been about 100 years.
Well, actually, that's an older number because the Pacific Garden Mission is probably the second oldest operating rescue mission in the country.
Wow.
It was started in, I believe, 1876.
Oh, my.
And it has been around a very long time.
Wow. And Unshackled's relationship then to Pacific Garden Mission.
The mission started the program and then sponsored it and continues to make the weekly broadcast even today. It began, as you say, 1945. Mm. And then has been in continual production since then.
Wow. So just to get the years right, Lon, he mentioned 93 years from the beginning of Pacific Garden Mission. When was your testimony dramatized?
Dramatized in 1969 or 1970.
Wow.
Memory escapes me a little bit.
A long time ago.
Long time ago.
Well, and the Lord still has you.
He never lets anybody go.
Wow. Wow. So could you share with us, obviously people could hear your account, your testimony on Unshackled, but could you share with us your testimony? How did the Lord reach you?
I'd be glad to talk about that. I'm thrilled with it every day. We're here in Arvada, Colorado, and I'm a homeboy here. I grew up here in town. And I guess my story, above all else, is the guy with the big head. I excelled in school. I graduated from high school here in 1967. And I did well, really, from the very beginning, got good grades. And I was introduced early to religion. I attended church, not every Sunday, but frequently. And I was intrigued by it, but ultimately I was disappointed in it. I thought about it a lot because I'm kind of the guy with the big head, and I never quite got to the point where it satisfied. There was something about not knowing about your eternal destiny in the church I attended.
Yeah,
you couldn't know where you were going.
Wow.
So yeah. What's the use of a religion like that?
Right. And a religion as compared to a relationship with Jesus Christ, religion should be so very unfulfilling. And that's what you experienced.
That's what I experienced. So when I got into high school, my faith got eroded away by some teachers, and I got turned on to, if nothing, best term for it is philosophy. I got into existentialism and one philosophy in particular called objectivism. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was the answer to all of life.
Mm.
And that worked all right for me. Then I got a scholarship to a good school in the East, Dartmouth College. And at Dartmouth, that kind of got blown out of the water right away. It's a school that was founded many years ago with a religious purpose, but has long since left that behind. So
the Ivy League schools, so many of them were founded by Christians, mm-hmm. to train young men and women to preach the gospel. Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Dartmouth.
Dartmouth.
And eventually, within a few generations, they end up becoming the enemies of the gospel.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dartmouth was, the motto at Dartmouth is Vox Clamantis in Deserto, which means the voice of one crying in the wilderness of the Northeast. They were trying to reach the Indians.
Wow.
American Indians.
Wow.
So,
And it's uncanny today because how far they've fallen from that goal.
Yeah, that's ancient history now for all the Ivies.
By the way, you mentioned objectivism. Ayn Rand, I've read her Atlas Shrugged. Mm-hmm. And one interesting thing, Lon, about her, I know we're not here to talk about her or objectivism, but she was unable to live by her own worldview. She wanted to destroy marriage. Marriage was nothing. Mm-hmm. She got her husband and their best friend's wife to agree to her having an affair with her best friend. Uh-huh. But then, a short time later, he became interested in a younger woman, and Ayn Rand was enraged. And so when you compare people who make up their own worldviews versus Jesus Christ, who not only taught a worldview, but he lived the worldview because he's our creator.
Yeah, surprise, surprise. Folks have trouble living up to their own standards. Mm. I think Ayn is a good example.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just to continue, when I got to college, I sort of left philosophy behind pretty quickly, but I found it sort of a substitute religion, and it had to do with marijuana.
Oh boy.
So, and I had a friend who said something like, I'll bet those writers of those holy texts were probably high when they did.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon, that's the way I thought about things. There was a spiritual world, and drugs, especially marijuana, was just a way to tune into the ultimate spiritual reality.
Oh.
And,
I'm sorry to hear that it was part of your growing up experience, becoming an adult, but drugs have destroyed literally millions of lives.
Yes, no question. In my case, I had a slightly different perspective on it. I was sort of the big head, the thinker, and I was actually thinking about these things as I went through them. I wasn't in it for the
pleasure. You did it as an intellectual experience.
Yes.
To see what you could learn.
Yes. Well, and also to search for truth. I was looking for truth, not pleasure so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
I noticed, though, that once I got using more weed, my performance at school started to falter, and my emotions were going up and down, and I wasn't doing too well at school. And then I took a trip.
Physical trip.
Yeah, I took a physical trip for the school as a class to France, and their drugs are more available, and I struggled in France too. I thought maybe that would be a good way to get away from it, but it wasn't. It became more and more of a sort of an everyday thing and less satisfying. Then I met this guy that you and I have talked about, a man by the name of Abby Hoffman.
Yeah,
one of the Chicago Seven.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more in my search of truth. He spoke about a reality of rebellion. So he was an existentialist and said, once you have plunged into opposition to government or to the establishment, that you find what you were really born to do. And that appealed to me. At the same time, I used stronger and stronger drugs, but it wasn't getting me anywhere. In fact, I was on my way down. And after a bad LSD trip, I ended up on the edge of life, and I went to that was the bottom.
Where were you when you were doing LSD?
I was on campus. I was
at Dartmouth.
Yeah, and so much for the honor student. My grades were going to pot.
Yeah,
and so I knew that I needed something very badly, and I went to the library and checked myself out a Bible. I didn't have one. And I read the first page, and when it said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, at that point, I knew that this was something I had to reckon with. And I was determined I was going to get to the bottom of this. So I made myself a little vow, wrote it down, pray every day and read this, read something out of the Bible. And that vow lasted a couple of days. It didn't last too long.
Right, right.
But that was the beginning of a long road to really finding what I'd really been looking for all along. So it meant I had to drop out of school. I really was not capable of sticking with school for the time being. And I did go by myself off on the Appalachian Trail up in New England, which is where the school was.
Yeah.
And read the Bible for myself. And I started in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and didn't get to John. But I found a lot that was very hopeful there, but it wasn't enough quite to get me where I needed to go. So I obeyed what Jesus said, sell all you've got and come and follow me and you'll have treasure in heaven. And I did that. I mean, I didn't have much to sell, but so that was my new motto. And I followed that point of view for a while, although I was still following Abby Hoffman, went to a very large demonstration in Washington, D.C., the moratorium demonstration against the war.
Yeah, the Unshackled dramatization of the Long Greg story starts with students chanting Ho Chi Minh, Ho Chi Minh. Today, it's 2021. Students today have no idea who Ho Chi Minh was.
Well, the Vietnam War was an occasion for many people to throw off their shackles and go have a lot of fun.
And he was Prime Minister of North Vietnam, revolutionary. So why would it be in the 60s, what was it that attracted drug addicts and hippies to communists? could you answer that? I was born in 1959.
Okay.
And I remember the Vietnam War in fourth grade. We had a debate. We had a debate team, two teams. Parents came in, and I was on the team that said, we need to stop the fall of nations to communism. We need to fight against communism. But the college campuses across the country at that time, they sure didn't agree with that at all.
No, they didn't. There are many reasons, I think, behind the whole Vietnam War protest era. But a quick answer to your question, Bob. I wasn't in it so much for anti-war. I was in it for the answer to life. So as I mentioned, I was following this guy, Abby Hoffman, one of the Chicago Seven. And he was, as I say, he was very philosophical about what he was doing. And his idea was to plunge into controversy and opposition to government or all things that are established.
Yeah, when you look at the establishment and you see that there's something wrong with the establishment, then someone comes along and is anti-establishment, it's a natural hook. Oh, this guy might have the answer, but there's a thousand ways to be anti-establishment. And you could take any false teaching, any obsession, and couch it in terms of anti-establishment.
In fact, the moratorium demonstration in Washington, D.C., attended by probably a million students, I don't remember how many, there were Hare Krishna there. You know, these are the skinheads who chant the Buddhist mantras. And I even got involved in that for a while. But notice, I mean, for me, the whole thing was pursuit of truth, finding something that was at the bottom of everything that would kind of give meaning to life. And so that's how you get the Hare Krishnas there and the anti-establishments and the anti-communists. I mean, it's a potpourri of all kinds.
In the early 70s, I was getting ready to graduate from Catholic grammar school and reading about reincarnation, Eastern religions. I was looking too. I thank God that you and I, Lon, we found Jesus Christ. But there's that point in someone's life where they're looking.
Exactly. Well, the demonstration was over. I dropped out of school, wandering around like a hippie, or I was considered myself a yippie, which is something akin. And Abby Hoffman got involved in the 1968 Democratic Convention, and there was a riot there, and it's famous. The police rioted Abbie Hoffman and the Chicago Seven didn't, and their followers. At least the law came down on their side ultimately. But they were going to trial in Chicago in 1969. So after
that's where the DNC was held.
That's where it was in
Illinois.
Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. So I decided I was going to go up and see the trial. I'm still reading the Bible, and at the same time, I'm reading Abbie Hoffman's book.
Wow.
And I got to Chicago in late November, and I had a couple of bucks and a sleeping bag and not much else. And it was cold.
It's cold in Chicago. It was in November.
Yeah, very cold. I'd been sort of sleeping under underpasses, stuff like that.
Oh, but, my.
This was a different kind of cold. And of course,
it's so humid, and it goes right through your skin, right to your bone in Chicago.
And I didn't know a soul in Chicago. So I thought maybe I could go over to the YMCA. You know, the C in there stands for Christian. So I thought maybe they'd help some hippie, you know, give him a night up. Mm-hmm. And they said, we don't help your kind here. But over a couple blocks is the Pacific Garden Mission. And you can probably find a bed there. So I went over, and they did, in fact, give me a bed, and I began staying at the mission.
Wow.
And they recognized that I wasn't your standard homeless guy from the Skid Row in Chicago. So they kind of gave me some special treatment. I got to sleep in a special dormitory that was reserved for younger people.
How many men normally, mostly men, right? How many normally, how many beds?
At that point, it was around 350, I think. Now
the
mission has enlarged substantially and moved, so they house a lot more than that. I couldn't give you a number.
Yeah.
But one counselor there took an interest in me, and I say counselor in quotes. This man had about an eighth grade education. His name is Ray Wilson. And he saw that I was in the library at the mission one day reading the Bible. I was reading the Gospel of John.
So you finally got to John.
I finally got to John, and I should have started there, but that's another story.
Yeah. We often have told people, I mean, how many times? 100 times. They say, well, where do I start? And I'll say, well, start in the Gospel of John.
That's a perfect answer.
Start in John.
I was in John chapter 3, and he said, so I see you're reading the Gospel of John. You liking what you read? Yeah. He said, well, why don't you turn over here to John 3:16? And so I turned to John 3:16. He said, so would you read that to me? Yeah, sure. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And then he asked me, so do you believe in Jesus Christ? And I said, yeah, I think I do believe in Jesus Christ. And he said, so do you have everlasting life? And I said, I sure wish I could know something like that.
Wow.
And he said, read the verse again. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And he said, so you believe in Jesus Christ, right? Yeah, I do. Yeah. He said, so do you have everlasting life? He said, I sure wish I could know.
Wow.
And he said, read the verse again. And at that point, a little light bulb came on. I see Jesus promises everlasting life to those who believe in him. Mm. He's telling the truth. Mm. He must have given me eternal life.
Wow. Wow.
And at that, like I say, that's the light bulb. That's how it all started.
Well, and he is the light. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he's the light from heaven. Lon, you said you went to a church and they didn't teach that you could know. I did the same. Mm-hmm. I was an altar boy in the Roman Catholic Church. And I went and asked the priest at the rectory, can't we know if we believe in Jesus, can't we know that we have eternal life? And he came to our home to do a Bible study and told us what he believed, St. Anthony's Church in Hawthorne, New Jersey, that much of the Bible is just like the Greek myths.
Right.
So it's not, you can't take it literally.
Yeah.
And that was shocking to us. But we found out that the Bible is God's word. It's trustworthy. And this is eternal life, that you might know God, that you might know Jesus Christ. And so I now, in our family, our whole family, there were six of us, mom, dad, four kids. Mm-hmm. We all came to the knowledge of the truth in Jesus, and we all had this assurance. So you said, I sure wish I could know something like that. Well, you can know. People listening right now to the radio, to a podcast, the download, streaming, you can know that you have eternal life if you trust in Jesus Christ.
It's his promise. I mean, if he promises eternal life and he's the Son of God and he raised himself from the dead, maybe it's true that he can actually give you eternal life.
Yes. And he demonstrated his love for us. He demonstrated the truth of his claims. So he is trustworthy, as his word, the scriptures, are trustworthy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So then what happened is, that was what I was looking for all along, the philosophy, the religion that offered no promise of life, the existentialism, none of those.
The drugs.
The drugs also. I found that was all a sham compared to the promise of Christ for life and life eternal. Mm-hmm. So my mind started changing right away, and I started memorizing scripture. The Lord gave my mind back. I met a wonderful young lady. We've been married for 50 years now. She worked at the mission. I came in the street door. She came in the employee door. We had two children. I got my scholarship back at Dartmouth. I graduated cum laude from Dartmouth.
Wow, and congratulations. And by the way, you and Janet, thank you for bringing that wonderful dish in to our church potluck this past Sunday. That was awesome. But so you graduated from Dartmouth.
I graduated from Dartmouth, and I went to seminary, Dallas Theological Seminary, and graduated with a Master of Theology. And then worked in church ministry for a while, and then came home to work in the Denver Rescue Mission, which is actually, it was founded by the Pacific Garden Mission some few years after PGM began.
Did you ever know Del Maxfield?
He was my boss. Yes,
he was your boss. Yes, he was in studio here at Bob and Yurt Live about 30 years ago.
Yes.
So after we get off the air, I'll share some of that with you.
So I served there for most of those years as the spiritual director of the Denver Rescue Mission, then retired recently. And I have a vocation of leading Bible studies. So that's what I do. I have some Bible studies that I occupy myself with.
And what an honor that you and your wife, Janet, how did you find Denver Bible Church?
We found you online. We live about 5 minutes from the church, so it's a perfect for us.
Yeah, just it's really thrilling. We're a small, basically a neighborhood Bible church, but because of the internet, kgov.com, Real Science Radio, and being on what is the most powerful Christian radio station in America, AM 670 KLTT is 50,000 watts.
Right.
And a lot of people don't know, on the AM dial, the lower you go on the dial, the further the signal will go.
Right.
So we have like 850 KOA in Denver. Well, 670 is way below 850. And it really, KLTT is the blowtorch of the Rocky Mountains. It's astounding how far the signal goes. Mm-hmm. So what an honor. And Lon, what an honor to meet you and your wife, Janet, and to hear your story on not only on Unshackled, but then in person.
My pleasure, completely.
Well, thank you very much. And please, in your own prayer life, remember to pray for Unshackled. They are still there, reaching thousands, hundreds of thousands of people a day, not only in America, but around the world. And if you're in Colorado, let me invite you to come on out on a Sunday morning to Denver Bible Church. We're just west of Denver, right off of Interstate 70, I-70, and Kipling. And so it'd be an honor to meet you. Sunday morning, Sunday school at 9:30, the worship service at 11. For Denver Bible Church, this is Pastor Bob Enyart. May God bless you.